Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry.
Listen, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day.
Woo-hoo!
Are you not entertained by our Hump Day annual weekly tradition? I don't think you enjoy it as much as I do.
It's fine.
No, but it's fine is not... Yes, I enjoy it, Steve. It's just like... Take it or leave it. It felt very take it or leave it.
It is take it or leave it for me.
Really?
Yeah. But you like it, so we can keep it.
Why do you think I like it?
I don't know.
That's what I love about doing this show. I try to figure out what you're going to think about something, but I don't really know what's behind in your noggin, what's going on. And actually, that answer is, I thought you enjoyed it. No, I feel like you do. I feel like it's irritating you.
You know what it is? It's because it's a bit. And you say you hate bits, and yet this is a bit.
It's a short bit. I hate these, like, I don't want to name call, but Vincent Eric in the Morning. these like, five-minute bits. It's like, dudes, your news guys, stop with the long-duration bit. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Yeah, it's short. Entertained.
See? Russell Crowe.
Did you see Gladiator 2?
I did.
Was it good?
No, not as good as one.
I didn't see it.
It's one of those movies shouldn't have been made.
Mm.
Should not have been made.
Okay.
And, Denzel Washington is, like, how does he fit in?
The only one without an accent? The only one with just an American accent?
Apparently, he's told the director, I'm not doing the accent. And they just let him just speak in his normal...
Well, he's Denzel Washington.
Is that it?
Probably.
Is he America's best actors, right?
One of, yes.
Yeah. Who else is on that list? I know we're not talking about this on the show today, but...
I mean, that's a long...
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, Ed Norton.
Ed Norton, don't sleep on him.
No, he's incredible. Yeah. Of course, now you ask me, and I'm just, like, blanking entirely.
Give me a woman.
Charlie Hunnam's up there, as far as I think he's a great actor. Oh, Laura Linney. I just saw a post yesterday about her talking about the arts and the importance of the arts, and she is unbelievable.
Underappreciated.
I mean, obviously, Meryl Streep is always going to be up there. Young actresses, Emma Stone.
Yeah.
She's, like, the most nominated actress for her age of all time.
Look at us talking the arts.
Anyways, let's get into politics.
Let's get into it. I saw this story yesterday, and we talked about it a little bit. I think we teased it. Virginia, this sort of long form story about how we're gonna do our elections and how we're gonna delineate our districts.
I hate this, all of it.
So Virginia, the lovely, is it a Commonwealth or a state? I know the East Coast, they do a lot of different things with how they reference themselves, but Virginia, let's just go with that. They had an election yesterday to sort of redo their lines, and maybe I'm just speaking out of turn, but. Basically, it's a free-for-all of gerrymandering. Everywhere, California, Texas, just do whatever the hell you want now to win an election.
So there was a referendum similar to what it was in California. It won, not by a lot, it was 51% to 48%. It's still being challenged in court, so this is not a done deal. But in fact, the maps, by voter approval, to redistrict their maps, they think in time for the election this fall, with picking up like four seats for Democrats.
Yeah, so they would if the patterns of the past play out, they'd have 10 of the 11 House districts. It would be Democratic. You don't like this, I know.
I hate all of it. I hate all of it.
This is why I wanted to talk about this to lead the show. So I'm looking at social media as the results come out, and predictably. Whatever these new conservatives are, whatever that even means anymore, they're like, look what's happening in Virginia, how unfair this is. First of all, shut the hell up. Where were you on
Where
Texas?
Where did this start?
Where were you on Texas? Not a word, not a peep. Are you an idiot?
You either have to take there's only two sides of this. You're either on the side of the rules are the rules and you can do whatever you want in order to win, or you... bemoan and decry all of it.
So I was thinking
about the party.
I was thinking about this last night. One of the rare times I'm laying in bed I'm out. I'm thinking about this. Maybe what we need is not a state by state decision on how we do this. A federal, maybe even a constitutional amendment. This is how we're going to pick the districts. This is the fairest way it can be done. This is how we're going to do it. Everybody in the state, shut the hell up on this. Because you're screwing. If this is going to. So, this new method where the state just decides we're going to give them all to one side, whether it's Texas, California, whatever it is. And I know it's not absolute. There's still. God bless that one House district in Virginia that's Republican. What do you think the byproduct of this is going to be? It's more extremism. How is this helpful? How is this productive for a democracy? So if I see one more of my Republican conservative friends saying, look what happened in Virginia, I can't believe it. Where were you on the other states, on the other side, when they were trying to do this? Actually, we should give some... Indiana basically rejected this idea.
Yeah. Big kudos to Indiana.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Indiana, but well done on that one.
And that was Republicans.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was Republicans in the state legislature who, like, I'm sure they got some death threats, but they had a lot of pressure on them from the president on down, and they withstood and rejected redistricting their maps halfway through the year, through the decade.
If you have an answer to that question, like, where do you think this is going to lead? Because this is part of the process. So then we're going to get to a situation where, because I can guarantee right now Republicans control everything. President, mm-hmm. the office of president, Senate, House. When Democrats have that control, you think they're not going to do the things that Republicans are doing? They feel like they're entitled to do that. Why would it be any different? And maybe, God bless them in Indiana, maybe they're setting an example that it can be done in a better way that's not hyper-partisan, all politics. Maybe it's based on ideas and policies and actions that actually make all of our lives better. Because right now, it ain't working. We're in wars. We don't even understand what we're doing day to day. Ceasefire, no ceasefire, blockade, no blockade, moratorium. It's like, what are we doing? Tariffs, one day on, one day off. It's insanity. That is not how we need to lead the world. It's not how we should govern. And I'm just sick and tired of the BS. I edited myself. How about that? You almost had to hit the dump button. This is what we're doing. Fueled by idiots on the radio, talking heads on TV that spout nonsense because of politics.
Do you think that's what's, fueling it? I'm not sure that's where it's starting.
We've created generations of stupid people when it comes to what really matters in government because of this nonsense. That's why I pride ourselves on not doing a show like that. You could easily be a mouthpiece for Democrats, and I could just as easily be, I would never do it, and probably wouldn't either, a mouthpiece for conservative Republicans. I'm not going to do that, because sometimes the things they say are absolutely stupid, just like sometimes left-wing Democrats say absolutely stupid things, out loud, on purpose. Not going to be part of that. And until Americans, Wisconsinites, southeastern Wisconsinites understand what is at stake here, an economy that works for everybody, quality of life, people can afford homes again, right? Those are real things. This is not real.
You see, there's actual problems that need to be solved?
Yes, there always is problems. But it's the difference between yakking about it, talking about it, and actually fixing it. I'll cite a quick example. I don't have a lot of detail on it, but Oak Creek has actually worked with Milwaukee County to provide affordable housing for people at an affordable home price. Oh my God! It is possible in a city like Oak Creek, which when I left was the third fastest growing city in Wisconsin. Huge development city. They can do it. What's the matter with Franklin or West Dallas or pick a city? You can fix these problems if you actually work together side by side. I feel like I'm running for office today. Should I?
I think that's an interesting... Let's take a break.
I want to grow up to be a politician and take over this beautiful land.
Welcome back to Point Taken. I am Kristen Bry. He is Steve Scafidi. And just another quick thought on... So I talked about this on Friday when you weren't here, but I got to go to a panel last week with some super smart people, specifically talking about Gen Z. And the guy who's been doing the Harvard Youth Poll since 2000, a guy named John Della Volpe, very smart, very interesting. He kind of had a slideshow about four different eras. And I would say the third era is what we're hopefully coming out of right now. He labeled it the Democratic Anxiety Era, where institutions are seen as failing, unresponsive, or illegitimate, and the trust has collapsed. Politics is framed as protecting rights and democracy, not improving daily life. Would you agree? For the last 10 years, everything has been framed as like an existential crisis. Like both parties have done that.
Yeah.
And like voting is a defense, not aspirational. Turnout is driven by fear more than hope for gain. And his theory of where we're going is now the experience and stability era.
Oh.
And that leaders are going to be evaluated on delivery, not rhetoric or identity. Promises mean little without results. Weaker party loyalty, conditional support that depends on performance, not affiliation.
Sign me up.
Sign me up, right?
Does he have a book?
He has a lot. I'll send you all his stuff.
Yeah.
We actually, he probably would come on a podcast
Let's
with us.
Get him
he's
on.
Super smart.
That's
but
exactly what I would say.
I want to know more of what he's seen of why he thinks that's where we're going. Because, like, please. And I think that's a really interesting thing. I know I kind of poked fun of you while you were gone as far as you're not interested in talking about Mamdani. But he's also getting things done. And we'll see how it turns out. But I think there is something to be said as far as whether it's him or other officials who can actually get things done in a way that prove how government is supposed to work for you. Government, when done well, can make your life better as far as infrastructure, filling potholes, making sure the leaves get picked up on time. And this is a lot of local municipality stuff, but even on a higher level for partisan roles, getting back to a time where it's not so much fear of what's going to happen if the other party is in control, but overall, just wanting people who are actually interested in getting things done and making things stable again.
Yeah. Stability, a calming versus this constant irritation that some people have. They look for fights on social media or in bars and restaurants because they want to argue about politics because somebody, you know, has brainwashed them to thinking the way they think that conflict is somehow a resolution instead of a process. It's like, wake the hell up. What are you doing? You're making the world angry. You're making the country angry. When most of us, I would think, and I, the author you talked about, shedding some of these party, because my party says that I have to, like, sign up.
Well, his prediction is that's where Gen Z is going.
Yeah.
That they actually have less party affiliation because they just want people who can get things done and fix their, like, help them have a better experience.
Am I like an unofficial Gen Zer on that topic? Maybe.
You young at heart?
Young at heart, yes.
Young in the brain?
I don't know about that, but young at heart, yes. Young at the brain, quick story, because we've got to go to break, and then we're going to talk about Earth Day, which is important.
Started in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Gaylord Nelson. This is how the old brain sometimes misfires. You know what a sledgehammer is, right?
I do.
For the life of me.
What if I said no? Go ahead.
I think, wow, you got to get out more. No, for the life of, I've used a sledgehammer 100 times at least in my life. I have a beautiful one that I got when my first shed fire happened and I had to get a new one. I couldn't think of what the, I go, it's the hammer, the big, I was trying to tell Ken, I couldn't think of the name sledgehammer, even though I've used one hundreds of times.
Oh, is this in references your brain not
yes,
being young?
It's like misfiring. I couldn't make the sledge part work with the hammer part. That is so,
maybe you just need some mushroom coffee.
I don't. It has to taste good. If it doesn't taste good, I'm not.
You try it.
Like your cup. That seems weird. But thanks for the offer.
I don't have cooties.
I do want to try it. I do want to try it.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to be that guy.
I'll bring you some tomorrow.
All right. I do want to try it. Don't buy me a whole thing. Just like a cup.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But my own cup. All right. We're going to talk about Earth Day after this with Stephen Kristen on Point Taken on 620 WTMJ. Yes. Happy Earth Day, Kristen.
Happy Earth Day.
April 22nd. You had a thought about it.
Well, mine's more depressing. You want me to start?
I'll uplift after your depressing comment.
Well, so it's one of those things where when it comes to environmental policy, I think it's hard to measure sometimes of how many the gains of it, because it's like the gains are people not getting sick or not dying. Right. But we don't measure it as far as people not getting sick because the air is not bad. Because in the U.S., the air is not very good right now. So there is a new report that says the nation's air quality is putting millions of Americans at risk of health problems. Nearly half of the U.S. population breathes unhealthy air and lives in a county that received a failing grade for pollution. Bleh.
Yeah.
So it's not just the storms and the actual damage that unpredictable, unprecedented weather can cause. It's also pollution as far as it actually impacting your health when you're breathing it every day. So that's just a reminder of why.
Yeah, I'm most frustrated about this topic when I hear, not to just pick on Republicans and conservatives today, because everybody's equal opportunity offenders on occasion. where they argue that like this all this, you know, the environment stuff just made up or manufactured, or they're not telling the truth, or, you know, it's all the labels that they throw on people who try to say, arguing what I think is a smart argument, that we should protect our environment, right? I want clean air. One of the Texas mates, Peter, gave a great example. Lake Erie was dead. Like, nothing was living in that. And because of the efforts of cleanup and having smart environmental policy, it's rebounded. It's a tremendous Great Lake now. That's the opportunity. I just want people to understand that whatever your political leanings are, that has nothing to do, shouldn't have, with your desire, your family's desire, your state's desire, your country's desire to make the earth cleaner, healthier.
Maha.
Yeah. Although, yeah. That's
part of it. If you're trying to make America healthy again, yeah, part of that is the air that we breathe.
Here's my quick, this is something I used to do a lot, and I've gotten away from it, but I'm going to get back to it. When you go for a walk, a lot of us walk, especially boomers, we love to walk. We go for, you know, a mile here, a couple miles here. Take a bag with you. Wear a glove on one hand and pick up garbage along the route. I used to do this all the time. People would stop and go, what are you doing? I go, I'm picking up garbage. I don't want to see that garbage. Here's another one. If you live in a house or an apartment complex, walk outside, look and see if there's garbage, and pick it up. What are you waiting for?
You know, someone else to pick it up? You can adopt what your own...
Adopt your block.
Not your block, but also your drain. Adopt a drain.
Yeah.
Make sure it's clear.
I swept out drains a couple times this spring because they're all clogged up.
Exactly.
I live by a high school, so the kids, stop dropping your garbage all over the place.
I'm sure they're listening.
You damn kids. All right. Great guest coming up.
Benji Tim.
All right.
The port
Benji
is open.
Tim.
Sailing takes me away to where I'm away. All right. Spring is coming when you know that the first cruise ship is arriving in the port of Milwaukee tomorrow. Yes. 6 months into the new job, the Milwaukee Port Director, Benji Tim, joins us in studio to talk about all the things you should know about the Port of Milwaukee. So welcome to the show, Benji.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So I guess let's just start there. So obviously we love the water. We appreciate the water, both the rivers and the lakefront. But whether you're a resident or a business owner, what should the average person know about Milwaukee Port that you think that they don't know?
Well, number one, that we have a port.
Okay.
that's key. And, you know, a lot of people drive over the Hone Bridge and they see the piles of salt below, and they see the big ships coming in, whether it's a cruise ship or a cargo ship. And we have a big port. We have, it's about 400 acres. Most of it's located on Jones Island underneath the Hone Bridge. We have about 22 tenants. Those include the commercial tenants, which I mentioned, the salt, the steel, the cement, tenants, but we also are the landlord for Summerfest and Discovery World Museum.
Oh.
We are the Lake Express Ferry, which goes between Milwaukee and Muskegon, Michigan. We also have military tenants as well. So there's a lot of things happening at the port. It affects people's lives in a variety of ways.
And commerce in Milwaukee, I'd imagine.
Well, in the region,
in the region.
Yeah. For instance, the salt that comes in, that supplies all the salt for the state of Wisconsin.
So the stuff that's piled there, and they've been doing this for the last month because I drive over the Hone Bridge every morning.
Yeah.
That's for next year's salt use because winter's over, basically.
Right, right. Well, they have to stockpile. So we've had some mild winters the last few years.
Yes.
And so there was essentially leftover salt. But this year was hit us pretty hard pretty early. And the salt producers, most of the salt comes from Lake Erie. So it's produced in mines either in Ontario or sometimes from Ohio. And so we get the salt, and we can get it all year round. Port Milwaukee is also open 365 days a year, unlike some other Great Lakes ports. And that salt comes in, but it's the same source of salt that the East Coast is using, you know, that the Central U.S. is using and the Great Lakes region is using. So when we had storms like we did this season, there was high demand all at once.
Oh.
So it was going the salt was going in all directions all the time.
You mentioned salt, but I mean, is that the biggest thing that comes in, or is it steel? Is it something else? What's the biggest product that we bring in?
Great question. Currently, salt is our biggest commodity.
Okay.
Our goal is to diversify our cargo in that we receive at Port Milwaukee. So we do receive a lot of steel. Our steel primarily comes from Europe. And that's used in the canning industry for making, like, you know, canned food, canned goods, things like that. We get a lot of concrete in for road construction projects, all sorts of projects. And I'll back up and go to the salt, too. So everybody thinks of salt for the roads, for our winter roads. Well, salt is also used in animal feed, and it's also used for water softeners for people who have well water, hard water. So all of that comes in through Port Milwaukee. And then Milwaukee is now on the map as an export, an exporter. So, you know, think back to 1835, as we all can. You know, that was when Milwaukee's port started. We started as a port city. And some of our earliest exports were grain. And, you know, that those exports kind of ebb and flow with markets. And right now, we invested, the city of Milwaukee, along with the DeLong Company, invested about $60 million in a new agricultural marine facility. And they are currently exporting animal feed to Europe, to Africa, to the Middle East. And that facility basically put Milwaukee back on the map as an exporter.
Wow.
As far as the logistics of things, because as I drive over the Hone Bridge coming to work, I look to the right and I see they're building the new, is the cruise ship dock is happening on the southern part, right? And then there's that area that's been like closed in. That's for what exactly?
Yeah.
And is that under your purview or no?
It is. It all is. Of that, yes.
Okay. So what's up? Tell, because everybody asked me this question. Like, what specifically is going on with the dock? When will that be done? And then what's that section next to it all about?
Sure. I'll start with the cruise ship dock.
Yes.
So Milwaukee as a cruise destination is that's growing. So we're receiving 64 cruise ships this year.
Amazing number.
That's up from 23 in 2025.
Wow.
Why?
That's a huge increase.
Why is it such a big increase?
So cruising in the Great Lakes is growing overall. And there's more and more interest in it, especially post-COVID. There's people, visitors from Europe, even a lot of domestic visitors and visitors from Canada, other parts of the country who want to know what the Great Lakes is about. And really, while Milwaukee competes with other Great Lakes port cities for business, including cruise business, we also benefit from it. So the more activity we have in the Great Lakes system, it helps everybody. So there's a number of other Great Lakes communities getting involved in the cruise industry. And that's helping to raise numbers. It's bringing in visitors. We're expecting 20,000 passenger visits this year from those cruise ships.
So in previous, and probably right now still, they bring them into the river, right? The cruise ships?
Okay, yes.
Yes. So what's the plan to get the dock done, and when will that all be fleshed out?
So one of the reasons Milwaukee is a key destination for cruise ships is because we've invested in the infrastructure. We have a great ecosystem here with great partners like Visit Milwaukee and Milwaukee Food and Tours and the MMAC. Like, those are all strong partners that have kind of built, like I said, this ecosystem that we've demonstrated to the cruise lines that, hey, we have it going on here. We know what we're doing. We have a lot of resources for you. We also provide maintenance to the cruise ships when they need it. You know, we service them. When the cruise ships come in and do a turnaround service where people get on and off the vessels, we'll also restock their food supplies, their water supplies, deal with their sanitary. But also if a window breaks or if there's some sort of component in the vessel that needs to be repaired, we can do that here with our cranes, with the equipment we have at Port Milwaukee.
I was going to say, how does that compare to some of the other cities that you were talking about that's also contributing, partnering to try to get more traffic in the Great Lakes region?
So everybody,
does that make us unique, I should say?
We're, I'd say, ahead of the game.
Okay.
There are other communities definitely ramping up. They're right on our heels. So we have to stay competitive. And in one of the ways we're doing that is the cruise ship dock that's being constructed now just east of the Lake Express terminal. That is going to be a new 50,000 square foot basically pad for bringing in the largest vessels. So the largest vessels that call in Port Milwaukee are the Vikings. So the Polaris, that's coming tomorrow. And those have a deeper draft, so they need more clearance on the bottom. And that's why they're kind of out in Lake Michigan a little bit. They're currently being unloading passengers at what we call our heavy lift dock, which is in the river system.
Yeah. I've seen them. You can't miss them.
Right.
Viking stands out, certainly.
And that's where the Viking vessel will be tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's not the most attractive location to bring visitors into the city of Milwaukee. So we want to show off our city in the best way.
Let's take a quick break. Benji Timm's joining us. He's Milwaukee's port director. So much to talk about our beautiful port, one that's been doing very, very well. We talked about salt and the metal, the iron that comes in. We'll continue the conversation, point taking Kristen Steve right here on 620 WTMJ. Benji Tim, Milwaukee Sport Director, is our guest. All right, so we talked about the cruise thing, which is absolutely incredible, and that is a win for not just the port, but the community. All those connections to repair and supplies, big stuff. There's that area that I drive past that's it's now been blocked off from the lake. What is that exactly, and what's the timeline for the whatever is going to happen with that?
Yeah, so that is the Dredge Materials Management Facility.
Exciting name.
DMMF. You know, we're in government, so there's a lot of acronyms. Yeah. And yeah. No, it's actually it's a very exciting initiative for maybe a not-so-exciting project. But essentially, the structure that's being built in Lake Michigan is going to contain sediment from the three rivers in Milwaukee as well as Milwaukee Bay. It's part of the Milwaukee Estuary Area of Concern cleanup, which is we're cleaning up our waterways.
So great on Earth Day. So awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect theme. Yeah. So the goal is to have swimmable, fishable waters in the near future. And starting in we've been working on this for probably about a decade. And we're actually going to, we plan to start work in 2027, 2028. So we'll start dredging contaminated sediment from the river system and we'll put it in that facility. So that facility will receive a whole lot of material, 1.9 million cubic yards. But what that does is, one, it cleans up our waterways, and two, it creates new land for the city of Milwaukee. So the city of Milwaukee is actually growing. That'll add 42 acres to the city.
Oh,
not,
wow.
Not insignificant given this location.
Right.
So how long does it take to fill that sucker up?
So probably not my lifetime. I mean, it'll actually get filled up pretty quickly, but then it needs time to settle out. Yeah. And there'll be a cap put on it to protect, create a barrier. But essentially, that land then becomes useful for other things. Like, think about the Lake Express Terminal or the cruise ship dock that we're just talking about. Those are all built on filled land that was from sediment.
It becomes
useful for port operations, for other operations. That'll be for a future administration, future residents of the city of Milwaukee to decide.
You know what?
That becomes.
Forward thinking, though. I mean, it's easy to think now, but if you're thinking out a generation or two, that's the stuff that makes the magic for a big city like Milwaukee.
Well, and also if you're a kayaker and you fall into the river,
right,
you're like, this is not as gross as it could have been.
Yeah, exactly. All right, real quick, what else is exciting happening at the port? Because this is a great opportunity to have that conversation.
Yeah, so a lot of exciting things happening right now. We've also started the international cargo season. So, you know, for the people who like to watch boats come in and out of the harbor, we're getting a lot of boats from Europe right now coming in for grain and steel and the other things that I mentioned earlier, and residents can track those vessels. We have a tracking link on the
port. As they come in and leave?
Yeah, Port Milwaukee's website.
What's the best spot to watch?
That's a great question. Probably the boat ramp, the county's boat ramp, right at the confluence of all the rivers, just west of the Hone Bridge.
Personal question, could Kristen and I, when one of these big international ships coming, get a tour of the ship while it was docked?
We'd have to check into that.
All right. Can you check on that?
Good diplomatic answer.
Totally personal request, but I want to do it.
I haven't been on yet, so I'm anxious to go, too. So
we go.
We'll work on that, yeah.
All right. We got to let you go. Benji Tim, outstanding Milwaukee Port Director, and there's been a nice history of great port directors because I know Adam Schlick very well, and he did a great job before you. Thanks for stopping in.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Quick break. After the break, our pal teammates, fellow Fox World traveler, Julia Fellow joins us.
Is it Julia Feathers is her falcon name?
That's her falcon name, yeah. Let's go by that. All right, quick break. She's already waving her flag. Julia Fellow, our teammate here at WTMJ. She's doing a trip with Fox Road Travel.
She brought props.
She bought me the crown that won't stay on my big noggin.
Well, you know, a lot of royals, they have to change the size of the crown.
Yeah. Well, head size.
Yes, because the head size.
I've been told I have a large cranium.
Yeah, you do.
Jam-packed with brains.
Keep the crown on. If you'd like to see Steve text watch to 855-616-1620. All right, why are we having a scepter and a crown and the British flag?
Because we are going to do the British Crown Experience next summer. And I hope
2027.
Yes, 2027. So I hope that you guys all come. We're not only doing royal tour, like looking at Buckingham Palace. We're also going to Windsor Castle. That's where Harry and Meghan got married. Mm. We're taking a look into the royal history and also the history of England itself. We're going to Stonehenge And we're looking at even going back to the Viking days near York.
It's a great, there's great history there. You got the great, if you're a first time traveler to the UK, you got the stuff that people want to see. You've got, you just mentioned Stonehenge, obviously. Tower of London, mm-hmm. Westminster Abbey, which is the final burial place for many of the monarchs of Britain.
Including the Queen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely spectacular. The great thing about group travel is you get to experience with this like nice sized group. You can all have fun. You learn things about each other, and it's easier. I say it's easier than just going by yourself.
Okay, tell me, Steve, because this will be the first time I'm going with all of our fans on this tour. So you can go to 866-GO-FOX-GO or go to foxworldtravel.com, by the way. What's it like?
On a group trip?
Yeah.
It's a blast. We have made lifelong friends. Our friends Dennis and Stacy, or Jose and Dorothy, Greg and Michelle. From our trips, we now have new friends because we've spent a week or 2 weeks in exotic locations across Europe and some other places. They become part of your story. And the fact is you're experiencing this stuff with them. Now, have you been to England before?
I have not. My father was born there. I'm obsessed with the royals. I love history. So this has been on my bucket list. Rose Gray worked with me for about 7 months to put this all together.
We know Rose is the best. She's the best.
She's going to be our Fox host too. Yes.
So she'll be on the trip.
She's coming.
Yeah, and that's a bonus because Rose makes it even more of a wild, fun experience. She's so experienced, but she's fun. She hangs with you.
Mm-hmm. She's a good hang.
Yeah.
A great hang.
My husband's coming. He's a great hang.
Okay. I've never met your husband.
He's so laid back. He's so opposite of
me. What's his first name?
Jason.
Jason. I want to meet Jason at some point.
You love him.
I have gone on other host listener trips.
Really? Can you come?
I haven't
Steve,
said, I'm not committing yet.
Please come.
Well, I appreciate the ask.
Have you seen The Crown Jewels?
I've seen all that stuff. I've been there a bunch of times, yeah. But
Did you not know that he's British?
So is my dad.
I was born near Wiltshire. So
my dad said that at 18 he could have gotten a dual citizenship.
Yeah.
And he just decided to do American.
Right.
Did you do dual?
No, I'm just an American citizen, but I could apply. But I haven't found the reason, although, man, politics will make
me too.
Make that decision.
I also have a backup too, where I could become, because my dad was born there, I could become an English
citizen. All
right,
before I let you get out of here, where do they have to go to sign up? Because these things sell out, because I've done a lot of trips. They sell out, so where do they have to go?
I know. I hope that you come with me. Go to foxworldtravel.com. foxworldtravel.com, or just call 866-GO-FOX-GO. They'll give you all the information. We'll depart the USA. We'll have afternoon high tea. We'll do everything.
It's a beautiful place to visit. Absolutely.
And the best of the best is coming. Rose Gray, she's going to be giving us a tour with Insight Vacations.
Rose, Julia, Jason.
Maybe Steve.
Who knows?
Steve, Rose. Please. And your beautiful wife.
Kathy, yes.
She better come.
We shall see.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And thanks for the crown. I'll put it back where it goes, but.
Yes.
I think she's taking it with her.
Oh, is she?
I don't think it was a gift.
You can take it at any time. It'll be right underneath this table.
Oh, really? Is that where it's being stored?
Yeah, along with Kristen's scepter that she's holding.
Go Fox, go.
Yes, 866, go Fox, go.
All right. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you all.
All right. You got to go. It's the British Crown Experience. Not this August, next August, August 5th to the 15th. Everything you could possibly see there is on this trip. So
I know.
Old stuff, new stuff.
It's for everyone, the whole family, whether you're into the royals or not. And history is always for everyone.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
All right.
News is next on 620 WTMJ.
Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bryan.
Welcome back to the 11 o'clock hour of Point Taken. And film fans know, but I don't know if Steve knows, we're smack dab in the middle of the Milwaukee Film Festival 2026.
I did know that.
It started last weekend. It goes until April 30th. And one of the most talked about, I think is fair to say, documentaries that's in the festival is called Your Attention, Please. And it already aired on April 18th. It's airing again tomorrow, April 23rd at 4 p.m. at the Downer Theater. And I wanted to talk about this and have a guest on about it because it is tackling a topic that you and I talk about a lot. The social media, addiction to our screens, how we can actually reclaim our lives from technology. And so it's, like I said, Your Attention, Please, documentary director Sarah Robin. It was premiered at South by Southwest to huge acclaim. And joining us now is one of the participants in the documentary. Her name is Kristen Bride, not to be confused with my name, Kristen Bride.
Sounds very close.
Very close. She's the co-founder of Online Harms Prevention Workshop. She created Social Media Victims Remembrance Day and is one of the founding members of Parents Rise. And I'm so excited to have her on the show today. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I guess before we get into the documentary and the role you played in the documentary, can you tell us a little bit about your story and how what brought you to this kind of activism?
Sure. In 2020, I lost my 16-year-old son, Carson, to suicide after he was viciously cyberbullied over anonymous apps that had been integrated into Snapchat. And we were really conservative parents with technology. We waited until Carson was through middle school to give him his first iPhone. It was a very old one with no apps on it. And we hoped that it would stay that way. But when he got to 10th grade, he begged for Snapchat because that was the way the kids were connecting. So we knew he had Snapchat. We didn't know that they had integrated anonymous apps into their platform. And when you look at the history of anonymous apps, when marketed to teens especially, they always lead to cyberbullying, usually a suicide, and then they shut down and another one comes to play. And so I immediately turned my grief into advocacy and have been doing this work for the last nearly 6 years.
I have to ask you, I can't even imagine the horror of a loss like that. It's unimaginable. But as somebody who is now active and trying to communicate the dangers here, as this was playing out, as the Snapchat bullying and other platforms was happening, were you aware of it through the process, or were you trying to deal with it? How did that play out?
Well, it was during COVID, so Carson wasn't going to school. And what's interesting is that there were bullying incidents when school was in session, but he always told us about them. And we went in and we got it taken care of. What I learned after Carson died is that it's very typical for kids to not report cyberbullying because either they don't want to look like a snitch or they don't want their phones taken away because they're so addicted to them. In fact, he had just gotten his first summer job and he had written his upcoming work schedule on a kitchen calendar and we had a great night. So this came as a complete shock to us. And we were trying to figure out why. And then we heard through the school community that he was bullied on YOLO. And I was like, what is YOLO? I didn't know that Snapchat had allowed this onto their platform. Mm.
Kristen, so then in 2023, you testified before Congress about these harmful designs on tech platforms. And obviously this has been in the news because Meta and YouTube just lost some big cases. But when you were meeting with lawmakers or when you testified, do you feel like there's actual political will to regulate any of the platforms? Or did you feel like it was a lot of lip service? Like, what was that experience like as far as trying to get our lawmakers to do something?
Well, ironically, I'm in D.C. right now.
Oh.
And we had been advocating on the Hill yesterday and had a vigil to all the families that have lost their kids to social media harms. And we are still fighting for the Kids Online Safety Act that passed in the Senate with overwhelming support, 91-3, in June 2024. But unfortunately, as the movie depicts, it was never brought to a floor vote by Speaker Johnson. And so we are definitely feeling like this is a bipartisan issue. The left, the right, everyone cares about kids. The problem we're facing is that when it comes to D.C., big tech has a lot of influence and a lot of money.
I got to ask you, both directions, do you think Congress, those representatives, are listening to this case for some control? And more importantly, I guess, the platforms themselves, the creators of this stuff, the designs that addict kids, are they listening?
You know, I don't know how many more lawsuits it's going to take to make them listen. You know, they were fined, but for them, it's just pocket change. And I do think Congress is listening, and the messaging that we're giving right now in D.C. is you have a choice. Either you pick American families or you pick big tech. And so I think we do really need to make this an election issue and force them to pick who they're going to represent. And American families are looking to them to take action. You know, you would have thought years ago when Mark Zuckerberg turned around and apologized to all the parents, it was a forced apology, but you would have thought that maybe at that point they may start rethinking their business model, but it hasn't happened yet. And I think what we have to do is we can't wait for litigation, we can't wait for legislation, but everyone can do their part to limit their time on these platforms or not use them at all. I'm not on social media at all. I'm not going to support Meta that harms kids while I'm trying to fight it.
Absolutely. Our guest is Kristen Bride. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the documentary, Your Attention, Please, and what it was like to be followed around by cameras. So stay with us. This is Point Taken.
The future of entertainment is here.
We're being domesticated to be maximally harvestable for the attention-based business model.
There's no accountability.
Have you apologized to the victims?
It is pulling us away from these deep instincts for what makes a life well lived.
Although we're more connected than ever with anyone around the world, we're less connected with the people we're actually with.
Those might seem like small moments. Turns out that's all part of what makes us human.
Welcome back to Point Taken. That is just a soundbite from the trailer of Your Attention, Please, which is a new documentary that you can see tomorrow, Thursday, for the Milwaukee Film Festival at Downer Theater at 4 p.m. And right now we are talking to Kristen Bride, who is a parent survivor and a social media reform advocate, and also one of the characters in this movie. And so how did you first find out that they wanted to follow you and have you then document your advocacy, Kristen?
Well, I got a phone call from Sarah Robin, the filmmaker, and this was like over 3 years ago. We did a Zoom call together, and she talked to me about her plans for this documentary. What I really appreciate about her is that she had experienced her own struggles with social media addiction, and that's why this topic was of interest to her. So I felt like we would make a good pair, and that she wasn't on the outside looking in at my story, but we were doing this together, and it's worked out really well.
What's your message to parents who may be thinking about this as they're listening to your voice? And I would encourage them to see the film, and I saw a part of it. Powerful messaging in their approach to their children and social media in general. I utilize social media every day, but I'm not a fan of it, and I worry that we are ruining a generation of young people by the way that these companies are allowed to do what they do. What's your message directly to a set of parents who are saying, what should we do?
Well, certainly if you haven't given your child a iPhone or smartphone, please do not. The message is delay, delay, delay. We delayed, and Carson never saw 11th grade. So it is just not safe to have kids on these platforms. We've seen this with the evidence that have come out in the trials. These are products that are made to be intentionally addictive, and the algorithms feed kids harmful content, like pro-suicide content, pro-eating disorder content, when they're not looking it up, because that's the business model. The longer that they're on the platforms, the more data they can collect and then sell to the advertisers. And so I've never met a parent that has said, I wish I gave my kid a phone and social media earlier, just quite the opposite. And there is a whole movement called Wait Until 8th, where parents are connecting with other like-minded parents and forming a community. We also have phone-free schools that make it easier to delay giving a phone to kids. And if you have already done that, you know, remind your child, because I'm assuming that they're not paying for the phone themselves, that this is your phone. You need to know the password, and you need to have restrictions around it and model good behavior. No phones in the bedrooms, no phones out during meals, and try to focus on reclaiming humanity, because that's what we need. We don't need number of followers or likes. We need real friends and real human connections. And that's what makes us happy.
Well, and that's what I have not seen the movie yet, but I am looking forward to seeing it, because that's what it seems like. It's following the reform. It is following the people who are trying to take back and reclaim our autonomy and human connection. And so I guess in the work that you do in seeing this film, are you feeling hopeful that we can do that?
Yes, I am feeling hopeful. I feel sad that every time we unite the parent survivors, we have more and more. But I definitely feel like a movement has started and parents get it now. You know, our kids were the lab rats for social media companies, and we didn't know. But we are using our voices to warn other parents to keep these devices away from their kids, because they're going to see things on there that they just will not be able to unsee. And, you know, we're working with the litigation. There's going to be many more trials and legislation. We're not giving up. And I feel hopeful when I hear people talking about phone-free bars and meetups and analog bags and reclaiming what makes us human, and that's connecting with each other.
Kristen, I know that you created the annual Social Media Victims Remembrance Day. It comes up June 23rd. As you think about your son, Carson, who took his life at the age of 16, tell us about those 16 years and what Carson was like.
Oh, he was our funny guy. He was really active. He was one of those toddlers that would be a runner. So there were many near heart attacks chasing after him. But he was really coming into his own. He loved acting and was really good at it. He liked to play practical jokes. He'd give me jump scares. And he was really just our funny guy and the light of our family. And we all, the three of us remaining, just feel like there is a very large hole missing in our lives.
You impressed me just in what in our conversation today. And I thank you for the work you do. This is so important now. And Chris and I spent a lot of time on our show talking about the dangers that are out there. So for someone who's actually gone through what you've gone through, but yet still willing to put themselves out there, this film is a part of that process, but certainly testifying in front of Congress. Thank you for doing what you do.
You're welcome. This is the only way I know how to go forward from this sort of tragedy. And I want to prevent other families from having to live through something like this.
Yeah, what a great example you set. I wish you the best. Kristen Bride, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Whew, important stuff. Thanks for the conversation, Kristen. My Kristen Bride here set it up. And to Kristen Bride, what a story.
Yeah. And just a reminder that you can still see the movie in town for the Milwaukee Film Festival tomorrow at 4 p.m. at Downer. I'm going to try to make it because I think it's a really important topic, and happy that it got into the festival.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break here on 620 WTMJ. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you do radio and sometimes you really do important radio. And that conversation with Kristen Bride, a mom who lost her son at the age of 16, and I mean, that blew me away. And thanks to the texters who are responding to it.
Thanks for closing out that interview, because
it was hard.
I was a little choked up.
You know, you and I are on the same page on this. This stuff needs to be identified as a problem, and thankfully there's lawsuits that are in place. But the providers of this stuff and the addictive way that they're doing and providing these to minor children is dangerous. And you hear a pretty clear example of that. Everyone needs to wake up on this. And we're going to continue to present topics and segments that sort of identify some real life issues with some of the things that are happening out there. Not just with kids, but adults too. There's behavior that goes well beyond how anyone should act on social media. Got to quickly tell you about Salute to Service. We're in the nomination period. So what is it? I find first responders who deserve maybe a little extra attention, honorees that they've done something amazing above and beyond what they already do amazingly every day, and that's be a first responder, whether it's a firefighter, police, dispatcher, EMT, healthcare professional, frontline provider of those services. It is a way to say thank you, thank you, thank you out loud. And we need nominations. So simply, a couple ways you can do it. Just text SALUTE, S-A-L-U-T-E, to 855-616-1620. Or if you go on WTMJ.com, which I encourage you to do every day, you can see our Salute to Service banner. Click on that. It takes you right to the nomination page. Name, who it was, where they work, quick paragraph on how they changed your life, saved your life, whatever that story is. And then I do it. I take it from there. I interview some of these people, and we pick five honorees, sometimes six. We did six last year. And we present them, their stories, to you live on the radio during Heroes Week right here on 620 WTMJ. News is next. We mentioned it on yesterday's show. He was a teammate of Kristen's. He was a guy who had, we had just started a new segment on our radio show, Point Taken, with Dan Bice. Incredible journalist, decades-long career, who passed away at the age of 62. And we all reached out yesterday to some friends of Dan and coworkers, and not many people closer to Dan, other than his family, than Mary Spacuzza, who joins us on the phone line. And never easy to talk about this stuff, Mary, but you knew Dan so well. You worked alongside him on different things, and this news is never easy, but I want to give you a chance to talk about the person Dan Bice, because he was an incredible journalist and a guy who was just really good at what he did.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I would have come in the studio, but I was afraid I would use all of your Kleenex inside and be a sobbing mess. So, but yeah, I think probably Bill Glauber and Carrie Spivak and I probably all fought over who was the best work wife to Dan Bice. I think it was me, or work husband. Bice always told me that anytime he was going to go on the radio, he always had three points that you should like, that he tried to have in mind to make before heading into an interview. So ever since then, I've adopted that technique. So I tried to write down some notes, but it's like, I feel like it is the stories. He's such a legend and such a titan, and really, truly, in my mind, was just larger than life. And I would say the most feared man in Wisconsin politics.
Well,
where
everybody knows.
People of both parties were afraid to get calls from Dan Bice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the people in the public who never met him, they only knew him from that side. You knew him personally. Yeah. What was he like?
Well, oh my gosh. So I got a job at the Journal Sentinel in 2015, and I was like honestly nervous because I was so intimidated by Bice. Like I knew him as that Dan Bice, like the legend, the titan, the feared force. And I was really worried he was going to be a complete jerk. And I would say the biggest surprise to me when I started at the Journal Sentinel is like how nice of a man he was, how kind, how generous he was with his knowledge and his expertise and his time and sharing source phone numbers and doing source lunches to introduce me around. And I was like, oh my God, you are one of the nicest men I have ever met in my life. And it was a good reminder that like you can be a really good, ruthlessly tough journalist and still be like a really sweet person. And we used to joke that Bice was a lot nicer than people thought, and I wasn't as nice as people thought. And that was our funny joke.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You know, I
sometimes I would say something kind of snarky just to him in the newsroom, and he'd be like, can I tweet that? That's good. And I'm like, yeah, I can't, but you go for it. Yeah.
That's like, I was reflecting on it yesterday, and the handful of times I got to, obviously we were technically on paper colleagues at Journal Sentinel, but like we didn't overlap at Journal Sentinel. The time I got to spend the most time with Dan was when we would interview him on the radio. And the best part of ever interviewing Dan on the radio was not when we were on air. It was when we were off air and the stories he would tell and the things that like he knew but hasn't printed and isn't going to say on air. And that is like, I regret that I have only like got the tip of the iceberg of, I'm sure, the stories that he had, because he was there 33 years at Journal Sentinel.
I mean, I'm just kicking myself for not recording some of them because they were just so legendary. I mean, there was the story about him and Carrie Spivak, like, catching up to former Mayor Norquist and asking him questions in this elevator one day. And it's, some of it is language I can't repeat on the radio, but it is like the stuff of legends. And Vice always said that Carrie made him a much more direct interviewer. And I was like, well, it definitely worked because you are very direct. But that was from their Spice Boys days when they had their column. They're like, you know, I think they won at least two National Headliners Awards for their column pretty quickly. And just like really just breaking news all over town. And somebody was getting ready to interview somebody, and I was like, oh, well, the stories I've heard about that person from Vice. Like,
yeah, right.
He always had like the good stuff, you know, like the dirt. And like, somebody once complained to me that they thought that he felt he was always the smartest person in the room. And I said, honestly, a lot of the time I do feel like he is the smartest person in the room. His knowledge of religion and music and obviously Wisconsin politics, it was phenomenal. He was brilliant and, again, just a total hero and mentor to me.
Speaking of the Spice Boys, Jeremy Janine surfaced the Milwaukee Magazine profile of Carrie and Dan and posted on his Twitter yesterday. And they just it looks like they're at like a photo shoot for like NYPD Blue. Like he's like, tough guys.
I've printed that out and like posted it near our desk. So I'm very familiar of the photo of which you speak. So, and I don't know if you guys remember, I think one of the last interviews that we did together on the radio at TMJ, we were talking about getting Vice. And the difference that I had talked to different sources, and I was like, you know, you're a legend when your name becomes a verb and it becomes a verb that people talk about. And I remember talking to sources, and I called one source about what they thought getting Vice meant. And one person said, oh, that was dating back to the Spice Boys when you never knew if you might be in trouble, you never knew when Carrie Spivak and Nan Bice were going to show up at your door and doorstep you and just ask you questions at your doorstep. And then somebody else said, no, getting biced means when you are the subject of one of his infamous or famous Bice columns. And that was always my impression, that it was getting biced was you knew where you were getting biased because you were going to, you maybe were a staffer for someone who had some very poorly conceived tweets and you were going to get biased. But I just love that one, his name, he's so legendary. His name is a verb. And two, that there's actually like different definitions where if you look in the dictionary for getting biased, it would be this or this also means. So I think all of us can only hope to have that solid of a reputation and that legacy. And he was just so fair and so honest, and he didn't surprise people. I would hear him, it's not like he would read the entire story to somebody, but he wasn't going to have a cheap shot and blindside you. He was pretty direct about what the story was going to be about and giving you a chance to respond, and asked a lot of questions. And I don't know of anybody who didn't know what Dan Bice was going to be writing about them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maris Spicuzza joining us from Journal Sentinel, a colleague of Dan Bice who passed away this week at the age of 62, and he will be missed. You mentioned him being the smartest person in the room, his attention to detail. As far as the journalism, what specifically individually made him so good at it? I mean, I'm reading texters saying I wouldn't miss his column, loved reading his columns. What made him so good at it, Mary?
Had an amazing ability to be the most thorough, detail-oriented, just ruthlessly persistent reporter. He is just one of the best to ever do it, in my mind. And he also had such a wit and a gift for writing and storytelling and seeing the story and zeroing in on what the heart of a story was. He is not somebody... Some of us have struggled with storytelling or burying leads, and I don't know Bice's ever having buried a lead in his life. It just felt like he had x-ray vision for a story and the heart of the story and would just get at it very, very quickly, sometimes painfully quickly, probably to some of the people he was writing about. But he's just one of the best to ever do it in my mind.
He will be missed. Dan Bice, incredible local journalist. But actually, beyond that, he, like you said, he won national awards. Mary Spicuzza, also a very talented journalist, but a friend and colleague of Dan Bice. I know it's never easy to talk about these things, but we appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk about something that we will all miss, and I will miss him being part of our radio show because he was so good at that, too. And boy, and Kristen's right, because the stuff off
air. Stories off air,
oh,
man.
Oh, my goodness.
The stuff especially if you put Glover in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, the two of them, we just thought they should have their own show. I mean, honestly, I wish I had recorded some of his stories because I feel like there could be like a Bice cast.
Yes.
You know, just Bice stories could be like a series. I don't think it would have to be just one.
Yeah.
But I can tell you some stories off the air. But we had some fairly wild interviews together, and one specifically comes to mind that involved interviewing someone who turned out to be a swinger and wanted to share a lot of details about that. But that is probably a better off-the-air story.
Okay.
Right. We ended up walking through a house and noticing a oddly painted red room and being like, oh, okay. We'll tell you about it later, though. I feel like
there's
that would be one that I would
ceiling.
Tell you during a commercial break. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear the rest of that story. Thank you, Mary Spicuzza.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a quick break here on Point Taking, remembering Dan Bice probably all this week because he was so good at what he did. And I love the fact that even people that probably were on the biting end of his journalism still find...
Everyone was on the biting end.
Yeah, pretty much.
No one was safe.
But even those folks had something nice to say. So that speaks to the character and the professionalism and the person that Dan Bice was. We'll take a quick break here. Never get sick of this song, really. It lives forever.
I agree.
Yeah.
This song's awesome.
It's awesome. It's always awesome. Always will be awesome.
All right. I don't know. How often are we going to be promoting this? I'm still kind of tickled by the entire thing. So we mentioned it yesterday, but because voting's still live, we'll probably mention it for a couple days because it would be fun. It would be fun to have a We Energy...
Peregrine Falcon named after you.
Yeah. And so if you missed it yesterday... We talked about that we found out that we were included in the potential names you can vote to name the new Falcon Chicks over at We Energies. And so it was all the TV station anchors and then all the talent here at 620 WTMJ. So it's a play on words, a play on our name. So you can vote for Kristen Prey in honor of Kristen Bry. I'm guessing... The people who made this, when they came up with it, are convinced my last name's Bray, not Bry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
And then the best, though, is Steve's. Steve Scatweedy.
That's a good one.
It's a good one.
And
it is a good
Kathy
one.
My wife, has been promoting this voting process all over the place.
So if you would like to see all of the names, if you would like to vote, if you text Falcon to 855-616-1620, you can see all of the fun wordplay with all of your... media personalities in the Milwaukee area, and then make sure to vote. I think you can vote as many times as you want. There's not a one-and-done situation.
I want to beat all these TV people. I just want to beat them.
Okay.
And you.
Keep voting.
And you.
I mean, yours is pretty good.
It's been...
I would vote for yours before my own, just because it's a better name.
I voted for you, because you can vote as many times. I voted for you a couple times.
Okay.
But somebody told me they voted 50 times already.
Oh, my God.
Like, what are you doing the rest of your day? Is it like that easy? Is it that easy to vote over and over? Or do you have to get back into the system? How does it work?
I don't know.
All right. Well, it's we're gonna
Falcon. Text Falcon to 855-616-1620 if you'd both like to see the names and or vote, and especially vote for us. All right. Let's take another break, and then we'll come back and finish today's show.
Chicago. All right. Yeah.
So I'm gonna be gone Friday. So Steve's insisting that we finish the bulk of the newsletter today.
Get the work done. I got a busy weekend.
Because you're too busy.
Yes, I'm
even
busy.
Though, are you going to be able to do it all by yourself next week when I'm out?
Yeah, because Elizabeth will help me out, so I'm not doing it by myself. Our great teammates here.
It's a very easy, straightforward platform.
It is easier than our previous
one. You'd be surprised. Yeah, I think you can do it on your own. Anyways, if you have not subscribed to the newsletter yet...
What's so wrong with you?
Let's do it now. Text EXTRA to 855-616-1620. Not only can you subscribe there, but now you can also see... previous, the last two, newsletters themselves, so you can try before you buy. See if you like it. See if you like the layout. If you have suggestions, you can always email us.
Wisconsin stories, including an incredible bobcat experience for Hunter, which I could not resist. And recommendations, highlights from the show, things we're working on, other stuff that we do here.
Links to things that we're talking about. Yeah, yeah. So like linking to your attention, please, so people can check out the website. Mm-hmm. All those things that we usually have you text in. But then if you're not listening live, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, we got to add the salute to service link,
all
too.
All of it in the newsletter.
Salute to service. Do not forget that.
I will not. Yeah. Do you want to talk about it right now?
Yeah, salute to service. I do it every May. Thanks to Waterstone Bank, Mission 94, Botanas, Packing House, other great partners and sponsors that sort of help me tell the stories of our great heroes, first responders, in all different kinds of stories, life-saving, just stepping up in a different way, community work. I love to share these stories, but I need your help. Nominations. So text SALUTE, S-A-L-U-T-E, to 855-616-1620, and I'll take it from there. Just give me some basic information. Or just go to the banner, Salute the Service banner on WTMG.com, and you can click on that. It takes you to the same place. I need your help. Nominations have already started. We'll go until, I think, May 8th. Then I do all the heavy lifting along with Jazz. We put it all together, and then Chris and I will present the honorees during Honors Week, Heroes Week, right here on 620 WTMJ. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
This is next.